All right, so before we start the podcast, there's something special I want to start doing.
Oh.
And we're going to bring somebody back from the past to help us kick this off, to help people here in Tampa Bay. And then we got to talk about Mr. Tyga King.
Oh, good.
We got to talk about Tyga King and this woman.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol at Big Cat Rescue.
And we'll do that next.
Unscripted. Unshackled. Uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel.
Yeah.
You're a dumbass. Have a wonderful day, okay? Bye-bye now.
Holly.
I finally got boobs and a butt back.
And Scotty the Body.
Am I not as cool and good-looking as I think I am?
The Miguel and Holly Uncensored Podcast.
No, my tongue feels too big today.
Only from Hot 101.5.
Give me Kit Kat or give me death.
Tampa Bay's new hit music.
That's right. It is us. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Corona Beer for making our daily Corncast Uncensored Podcast happen. So get yourself some Corona Beer some limes as you are sitting out, posting up. And thank you to everyone that has been listening to the podcast. We really, really, really appreciate it. It has been a in our way, labor of love, having to come up with a whole nother hour of stuff. But right now, with all the crazy times, it's not like it's hard.
No, there's a lot of stuff. And let's be absolutely honest. We could probably do it anyway.
Absolutely.
Because we're a bunch of chatty Cathys.
Yes. Clearly, we got some stuff to say. Before we get into stuff about how our weekends were, I thought we could start a new feature on the podcast that I thought would be really cool, and a person to sort of help us kick it off is someone that we all know and love.
All know and love.
Is it your mom?
No. Even though we all know and love her.
Yes, we do.
Yes, yeah.
This is something to help here in the Tampa Bay community as we are dealing with all the stuff right now with COVID-19. Oh, I forget. It takes a while to catch.
Hello,
Ryan.
Hey.
Producer Ryan. Yes, producer Ryan.
Hey.
Hey. So.
I feel like I miss you so much. I don't even know what to do with myself right now.
So if you are new to the show, producer Ryan, you were with us for 3 years, 2 years?
Yeah, 3 years.
3 years. He helped navigate the show to where it is today, and he is a photographer, videographer extraordinaire, and he made that leap of faith, and he went and left to do some amazing things. And sort of what I wanted to kick off maybe most podcasts, if there's not like a lot of breaking news or whatever, is I want to feature someone that has been affected by COVID-19.
Mm.
Because unfortunately, Ryan, you are now a victim of COVID-19 when it comes to your employment.
Yeah.
What happened?
They've been doing, well, ever since it started, we were working from home. And then sort of with what I do, photo and video, like 50% is being out there and filming in person, which, you know, we haven't really been able to do as much. So once we got through all our edits on our current projects, there was really nothing to do. I don't think it was the fact that there was nothing to do. It's just, they lost a lot of revenue, I guess, with, they do like electrical contracts for buildings.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a lot of them got delayed or canceled, and they had to do a round of layoffs. So pretty much everybody that was brought on in 2020 was let go, at least for now.
Right. So that sucks.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. How are you feeling?
It's been like a range of emotions, kind of. At first, I mean, I understand where they're coming from. So I get it. I run a business too, even though it's just me. It's a small business. I get how it works. But I'm okay with it. Just, you know, now it's kind of I'm kind of a little bit mad about it stage.
Yeah,
but, no, understandable.
But, you know, I'm trying to suppress that and just keep a good attitude and move forward and work on some things that I've been putting off and just learn new things while I have the downtime. And then once it bounces back, I'll be able to use those things to further myself even more. So
first, I want to say I'm so proud of you. You put all those words together, girl.
Yeah.
I didn't have to say, Ryan, words.
I've been trying to get a little better at how I communicate over here.
Ryan was great behind the scenes with stuff. He always made our social media and our graphics and pictures and video
look amazing.
I mean, people around the industry and radio would be like, how do y'all do that? What's going on?
I'm like, well, we stumbled onto producer Ryan.
Yeah. And so then you could definitely tell when you left that it's us just trying to clobber together some stuff.
Took a severe nosedive. No, you know, that's no diss on anybody here. Just when you're used to that level of production, like you're like, we're just cobbling together.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. We're trying. Well, Ryan, what we wanted to do is help you kick us off where we are helping. I want every day to feature a different person that's been affected by COVID-19 and sort of just walk through what your qualifications are. So when things do start looking up, or maybe there is a business that says, hey, I need a photographer, videographer, they can hit you up. Or, and I'm saying we are totally stealing this idea from our sister station, Mike Calta, on 102.5 The Bone. What's really cool is he's been featuring different service industry workers.
A lot of bartenders.
Bartenders and waitresses and hostess on their Instagram and giving out their either Cash App or their Venmo. So if you got $1, $5, and you want to help out for people that have had their income just completely slashed out of nowhere, maybe a couple people can help.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. Yeah, I saw him doing that. That's a really great thing.
So I was like, well, let's do it on the podcast and instill that idea. So thank you and shout out to Mike Calta at our sister station 102.5 The Bone for the idea. So quickly tell us, what are your qualifications? What can you do? And then give us your Venmo or your Cash App.
Okay, I do photography and videography, any sort of editing or content creation. I have done social media, like calendar scheduling, and just management of posts and budgets. And so mostly I like to do the creation stuff. So if you have any backlog footage or any graphics, I can animate them or make little social ads here and there. And also I have a pretty good network of people who do other things like packaging and graphic design. My girlfriend Taryn does that. I have website builders, and I just have like digital marketing people and stuff. So I'm pretty well-rounded when it comes to the creative stuff. And if I can't do it, somebody on my immediate network can.
You sound so grown up. Look at that.
My heart is so full. Now, what's that Venmo, though?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Venmo. I think it's just at Ryan McGivney.
Gotcha. At Ryan McGivney, if you want to hit him up.
Yeah, that's RyanMCGIBBENY.
Love it.
Perfect. So if you got $1, $2, $5, got more than that, hit him up. Yep. Hit him up.
I wouldn't. I mean, if there's. I think that I'll be fine for the meantime, especially with the stimulus package and stuff. Like, I wouldn't advocate sending me money, but please send it to somebody else. Like, if you think that they're struggling, like the service workers especially, please send it to them. But the only thing I ask is if you have any sort, if you see it or you have needs for creative work, please reach out to me and we will. I will do things for the money.
Oh!
You know, maybe a premium Snapchat or two. I don't know.
Oh! Hey! Wait a minute. Let me. We'll have a little text conversation here.
No, please stop.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Let me get some. Okay.
Sit down.
Also, what I thought was really cool, too, is if maybe your family and you're stuck in the house with your kids. One of our radio friends in Boston, Carson with the K on Twitter, he suggested the hashtag Front Door Challenge. You support a local photographer with a socially distant photo shoot from your front door. And then he tagged us in an Insta post where it's literally him, his wife, and his son at the door, kind of dressed up. And you can tell the photographer is standing back and taking pictures. And I thought that was a really cool way to sort of document what we're going through and then also be able to employ photographers like Ryan who need the work right now.
Exactly.
So I thought
it's
that was a really
challenge.
Cool idea. So hashtag
front
door
challenge.
Yeah, that
sounds fun.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'd love to do that too. I was talking with a couple friends who were, I saw that and they wanted to at least do it with their network of friends or whatever just for fun. So definitely down to do that.
Awesome. Hashtag front door challenge if you want to do it. Well, Ryan, we miss you. And we are sending you some love. And when we're done with all of this, we're going to all have to get together.
Yes, please.
And have some drinks.
Yeah, let's do it. And congrats on 5 years.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's awesome. One more thing I want to add.
Please.
I know a lot, like I said, I'm learning a lot of new things while I have this downtime. I'm just going to do like tutorials and YouTube things and whatever. So I know this may be a time for somebody to, you may have that camera at home, or you may be trying to dive into edits for stuff that you took on your GoPro. If you need any help or want to learn or have any questions about photography or video or editing in general, please reach out to me. I'd love to help out. And hopefully I can guide somebody on their way to what I'm doing. So
awesome.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, hit them up. And how do they contact you, Ryan?
My Instagram is at Tampa Bay Photographer. Pretty simple. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/MCGIB McGibb.
I love it. Well, Ryan, we miss you, and we are sending you all the love in the world as we navigate these crazy-ass times.
Yes, yes.
Thank you very much for having me on.
Absolutely.
I'll see you guys soon.
Yeah.
All righty. Bye.
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 And so if you want to be featured on the podcast, shoot me an email. That's probably the easiest way for me to keep track of everybody and not on social media because the messages get lost on there.
I was going to say, I can't keep track of anything on social media.
No.
Like, I promise people, like, recipes.
Right.
Or, like, hey, girl, what article were you talking about?
Right.
I can't find the message now.
No. That's why I'm like, don't slide up in my DMs. Do not DM me. And I'll just tell you if you do to email me, Miguel@hot1015tampabay.com. Or if you want to message one of us and say, hey, what was Miguel's email address?
Right.
Do that. And then I can organize it. And then I'll just set up every day. If there's not like breaking news or whatever, or we have to have like a mayor or something on, then we'll get you on to talk about your qualifications, what you do. And then you can give out your Venmo or Cash App. So if somebody has an extra couple dollars they want to send you, they're feeling generous that day, they can help you out.
Mm-hmm.
So just email me, Miguel@hot1015tampabay.com. Holly, this was week two of us really social distancing this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
How was it for you?
This weekend for me personally was fantastic.
Oh.
Because Maya was at her dad's house.
Mm.
And now I'm nervous, like, after the fact to have her go back over there, so I don't know when I'm going to get a weekend like that again. Because, like, I'm not trying to, like, call him out, but, like, I think that her dad and I have very different ideas on what social distancing looks like and who you can be around and where you can go. And it just worries me so much because kids are so susceptible to picking things up, and my mom is so susceptible to this particular disease.
Right.
So it's stressful. I mean, I dropped her off there, or actually he picked her up on Friday. And so by the time I got home from work on Friday, I took a nap. She was at his house. And then I just had like a at-home weekend. And it was awesome because I can watch the entire series or the entire season of Tiger King.
Yeah.
Because Miguel told me to watch it. And I was like, when am I going to watch that? Well, I did it.
Yes.
So we did. We watched Tiger King. And I put together my Harry Potter Lego set from Boss Man Will. And it was awesome. So, I mean, I drank.
Yeah.
So it's not like I was living like the different parent life this past weekend. But I also like I don't know when that's going to happen, especially now. This is Monday that we're recording this and my daughter's school like starts back up for good. Like, you know, everything is done with spring break and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get on like a Google Hangout meetup at 9 this morning with the teacher. It is a damn mess.
Do you not understand any
of
it?
I have no freaking idea what's going on. Like, she's referencing a schedule that I never got. Half the parents are like, wait, can someone send me the schedule? And I'm like, did she send the schedule? Or is she just referencing something that she's going to send? Like, it was... it just feels like a lot. But mm-hmm. we're going to do it because yep. that's what we do.
Right.
And so, it's... Life is a little crazy right now. I'm feeling a little overwhelmed in this moment.
So how do you do it? I mean, is it like, do you have to set your daughter up in front of the computer and the teacher, is it like the teacher is talking to them
yeah.
through video, like is streaming live?
That's crazy.
Yeah, which is not how we did, because she had 3 days of school 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
Because it doesn't matter. But now this is like a different moving forward aspect. And so apparently it's going to be like, you know, 9 a.m. You sit down in front of the computer with your hair combed and your, you know, a nice shirt on and you're learning. And she's six, y'all. Like, oof. I appreciate the fact that like first graders nowadays are way more advanced than we ever were. I'm fairly certain the only thing I remember doing at all in first grade was like, coloring in a big, you know how teachers can like outline your body with chalk and you
yes.
can draw a picture of yourself?
Mm-hmm.
I did that in first grade. Like that's literally, and I learned how to spell surprise in first grade.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. That's the only thing I remember doing. My kid is like setting up a damn like Zoom meeting with everybody.
Oh, that's
like,
crazy.
So it's, times are different. And she's going to be sitting there and the only one home with her is my mom,
mm.
who already, as we've noticed,
mm-hmm.
is technologically not savvy.
Yeah.
Just a little bit nervous.
So, I mean, is your mom just literally going to have to set up the computer and then...
I think Maya's going to have to do it all. I mean, she is very smart.
Right.
And I know she can do it, but what bothers me is that I don't even know what I'm doing.
Right.
I wish there were clearer instructions because once I wrap my head around something... I can explain it to her and mm-hmm. she will pick it up because kids do. Like,
right.
I don't know who thought kids were dumb back in the day, but kids are super smart.
Mm-hmm.
She can get it. She'll need to be guided. Like, she'll need to, you know, have my mom there to be like, stay on track.
Right.
What are you supposed to be doing right now mm-hmm. or whatever? But again, since I can't be there to see it the first time or even point it at, like, I'm a little stressed out. That happens tomorrow.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's fine. This is fine, I said, surrounded by fire. I'm like that dog.
A little dog in the house.
Do we need to have you, like, maybe do the show from your house?
I don't know that would honestly make it better.
No?
I don't.
So you could be there?
I don't. Then I can't do my job.
Right, right.
I can't do my job and then also be mom and teacher. I will explode.
Right.
Yeah.
I will physically cease to exist.
Ugh.
So we're just going to, I'm going to call some other parents today and we're going to talk through this and figure it out. And then today, maybe Maya and I will do like some type of trial run in the afternoon.
Right.
And so she's ready to go tomorrow. I don't know.
This is just what's so insane about what we're dealing with right now, because it affects every little thing that's happening right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, it's just pervasive on people are losing their jobs.
Yep.
And now parents have to come up with a scenario that a month ago, this would have been like, oh, you're crazy. We'll never be at that point. And here mm-hmm. we are.
Yeah.
And like you at least have your mom to like kind of help.
Oh, I know. I'm so thankful because she is available and she's there as an adult supervisor.
Right. But then what if it's just literally like one parent with no one else?
I don't know.
Or I mean, like I my heart just goes out for the world. Like there's no way to communicate it other than I just feel just so sad for the world, because thankfully, like right now in my immediate life right now, I haven't been outside of, you know, having to be home and do the proper precautions. But like when it comes to like major life changes like you've had to go through, I haven't really had been that upset by it. And so I wish I could like help or hug from afar or do something.
It's weird because like I feel like, okay, I got it. But that doesn't come without stress or freakouts or adjustments. And once we get everything kind of settled, I mean, this is just me personally. I'm preparing for school not to be in session this year.
Right.
I mean, just period. thinking that it will be, I feel like, is a little almost foolish at this point, mm-hmm. because then you're putting hope in something that's probably not going to happen.
Right.
I just don't see it clearing up and them opening the schools back up in May. Do you?
No. I mean, I'm not a doctor. I'm not, what's his name?
Dr. Fauci?
Yeah, I'm not Dr. Fauci. I don't have not one qualification, not zero. Mm-mm. I read CNN and the news media just like you do. That's about it. Yeah. That's about it.
Like, we get daily emails from our company who are, like, on top of it with the news, so right. I get my updates.
Right, but that's it. So I don't know. But, I mean, if we just had to go by on what we have with, you know, not scientifically backed opinions, putting together crowds like that all of a sudden is, I feel like that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know if they'll be able to do it.
I don't. And even if they do, can you imagine the amount of stress then to get everybody back on track for one more month of school?
Right.
And so, I just, no. So once we're all, you know, solidified with this, my whole goal is to make sure she's ready for second grade.
Right.
That's it. Like, right. if we miss some stuff, we're going to miss, just ran on my microphone, we're going to miss some stuff. Mm-hmm. But as long as she's at a level where she would have passed first grade anyway and made enough progress to be in second grade, I'm okay with that.
Right.
So I think that's what, as parents, we have to kind of be like, we are not everything. Mm-hmm. I am, like, I'm pretending like, oh, I'm not a teacher. Right. Okay. I don't know how to do that job. I barely know how to parent most days. So we're just going as well as we can. And I think that's the whole, the key with all of this is to really keep a hold of yourself, not let it trip you up too much so that you can still live.
I saw this great meme on DJ Eakin, who does some of the mixes on Hot 101.5. He used to work here at night. He had this great, great Insta post on his story this weekend that said, "Dear teachers," and this is from parents, "Dear teachers, next year you better make those school supply lists extravagant. You want 20 glue sticks? You got it. You want those fancy pre-sharpened pencils by the dozens? Done. You want 12 bottles of Tito's vodka? I won't even question it. I got you, boo. Yep. And also, please let me know when it's your birthday. Heck, even your mama's birthday. We're going to spoil you. These are my kids, and I love them, but my gosh, are they insane balls of energy that never stop eating. How do you do it? No, seriously, what's the secret? We miss you, your children's other parent."
Yes.
And I thought, how great. Wow, I mean, how true is that?
I would echo all that. Yes. And it's not like we didn't know that teachers were important. It's just that when you're with it every day, mm-hmm. then you're like, how do they deal with 30 kids? Like,
oh my gosh. Yeah, 30 of them.
30.
You gotta run a tight ship. That's what you got to do. So
this will make Teacher of the Week so much more epic when we're finally back to doing it when school's
open
again.
Oh my God. Wait a second. Teacher of the Week. Like,
right.
That sounds so foreign.
I know, right? Teacher of the Week. We haven't done it in, what, 3 weeks?
But the fact that we did do it 3 weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Blows my mind that mm-hmm. we were just walking on a school campus with kids everywhere, mm-hmm. and now we're like, don't touch me.
No, get away from me.
It's so weird how quickly things have changed.
Scott, how is it affecting your life as a 23-year-old?
Gosh, I mean, I was just thinking about what you were saying. It's like my immediate life has not really changed so much. I mean, like my day-to-day, on a normal day, I'd do the show, I'd hang out, do some extra stuff, and then I'd end up going home, probably read a little bit and get ready to go to, like, my CrossFit gym, CrossFit St. Pete. And that was like the main couple things in my day. And then maybe I'd bounce around. But usually during the week, I try to just stay home and focus on my stuff. Then on the weekend, I would have a bunch of events. So like my immediate life is, you know, some people either lost their jobs and everything like that. And like that really stinks. And hopefully a lot of those jobs could come back. And for me, like a lot of my income came from side hustles. So it was like, either I had two other jobs. Like, I would Uber Eats. I would do that. I'm not doing that now. I'm not getting in the car with other people. I'm trying to stay away.
Mm-hmm.
Also, with DJ Weddings, I just got into that business. I was getting a couple gigs. I was doing pretty good. I was doing a couple of trivia nights as well. That was bringing in a good amount of income as well. And then I had events for the radio station where I'd go out and either do, like, you'd hear me say, like, going out for a McDitton's event or, like, a Hula Bay on a Thursday night. And those are, I guess if you followed along this journey with me so far, it's like, couple months ago, I had nothing. So it was like, it's only this. I was struggling. And then all of a sudden, I was like, ooh, got an event. Ooh, got another event. And then I was like, right before this all happened, I was doing pretty good with events. It seemed like every night I had a dang event.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, for like those extra events that we do, we get paid extra. Like that's sort of an extra income for us. And that's why
how a lot of up and coming radio people make it.
Right. And that's why you know, just letting you in behind the scenes, Holly and I said to management, hey, you know, we've been doing this for a long time. Let's let Scott be the face and be out there and do these events because it's extra income for him. And you're still part time and you need it. And we're tired.
I'm tired. I'm not trying to be out on a Thursday night with drinks. I'm tired.
Like I did that all the years of my life. I just had a post the other day that popped up from when we were in Panama City at Club La Vila. And I was waiting for Young Boys to come on stage while I was broadcasting live from the club.
Yep.
And it was a Thursday night and it was like 11 o'clock. And I was like, they're still not here. But we still partying at Club La Vila. See you tomorrow morning on Island 106.
Yeah, like, I had a similar post from when Bone Thugs was at Club La Vila, and I was like, it's a Wednesday, but it's fine. No, okay.
Right, and so we're like, let Scott do that. Make some extra money. You get the experience of doing it on your own, and it's great. And now it's all gone.
Now it's all gone. The thing with that is, like, because of that is extra income, like, that was, oh, my gosh. I finally was like, oh, rent's coming up? No worries. I could either, like, I could even add extra stuff to my plate. Now it's starting. I finally, like we said a couple podcasts ago, it's like I finally took the first effect last Friday from the paycheck. Looked at my paycheck. I was like, okay, back to living that part-time life. Mm-hmm. No extra income. So now I have to be very strategic on what I spend money on. And just because I have stuff in my bank account right now, we don't know how long this is going to go. So I'm like, okay, well, going to take it a little easier on either getting to-go food or like what other things I have on my plate. So that's been a huge effect. Other than that, I mean, right now I was just thinking about this because obviously I went to get my girlfriend from Virginia who's there for dental school. I brought her back to Florida because I was like, who knows what's going to happen? You're probably not going to be going to school in person anytime soon. You're doing it all online. Let me get you back home to at least your parents if they close state lines. Who knows? Well, she stayed at my place for a little bit till like for a couple of days and eventually I took her back to her parents, literally said bye in the driveway, left. Now she's living over there and the weird thing is, when we're usually in the same town, we get to see each other.
Mm.
With that, we don't really talk over the phone much or don't feel the need to text. So it's like our lines of communication are just kind of off because we're like, oh, expecting to see each other. Well, I feel like we're in that same mind frame where it's like, hey, like we're probably going to see each other, so we're not going to text or call. But we're not seeing each other. So this whole weekend, I was like, oh, this is weird. Like, okay, I guess you're in the same town, but we can't hang out. Should we call?
Right.
It just was like a weird feeling because it's like our brain is like, ah, you're fine. But then I have to treat it as if you're back in Virginia. We have to still keep that line of communication going.
Right.
I don't want to go this many days without talking to you just because you're in the same city.
Yeah.
So that's a weird thing to navigate. That's something else that's kind of changed a little bit. So we'll probably have to fix that this week.
Are you going to like have a conversation about it?
Yeah, I think the same thing's going through her mind. Because she's in the same like city, we feel like we're going to see each other. And we have to both get on the same lines and be like, we're probably not.
Right.
So let's just act as if you're back in Virginia and we like have that call every day or something. Or just something along those lines. Or figure out a way to see each other, which I don't think is going to be the case here. Because as much as I want to, God forbid anything happens.
Right.
Like, let's say somebody spreads it. I don't want that to happen. So that's probably off the case. So, yeah, we're going to have a conversation to say, hey, you know, just because we're in the same city, let's just chat here and there. Let's keep these lines of communication going while you're home, you know, even though you're not that far away. That's been a little bit of a changing difference. But beside that, not much of my life has changed. I mean, obviously, my cousin's wedding got canceled. So not going up to North Carolina to see my cousin get married, which that kind of stinks. And then, like, my parents also were like, hey, why don't you come over this weekend? I was like, I could. But, like, again, that kind of goes against what we're trying to do. And especially for y'all, because I do feel healthy. I feel great. I really do. I feel like I'm breathing clear.
Oh, wait. Can we all take a COVID-19 second to breathe in deeply?
All right. But hold on. Breathe in from your shirt because then, you know, we're all breathing out loud. Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
I smell good.
All right.
I think we're good.
I think we're good. I didn't have to stop breathing.
No.
And with that, though, why I did that, though, is like, you know, I could go over there and say, hey, but God forbid I touch something wrong at a gas station and I bring it over to my parents. And Lord knows I don't want to give it to my parents.
Right. That's what's so scary about this. And it's causing, it's like I'm having such a hard time sort of processing it because, you know, yes, stay home. Don't get into groups of more than 10. But like, you have to go grocery shopping. Okay, well, you can order your groceries, but then you got to go get gas if you're still able to go to work. Well, what if you are going to work and you are kind of around people? And I know we're having that sort of discussion in our house right now, which is making it kind of awkward because our roommate Dylan, he is working from home right now. And so he's at home all day. He goes out to get food probably once a day. But my boyfriend, who owns his own painting company, he's still going out and painting right now. And usually it's a lot of outside of people's houses, but then he has to have a conversation with them about, you know, what they want and whatnot. And so that's a danger. But it's like he can't stop because, like a lot of small businesses, if he stops, then there's no money.
Right.
And so then we don't know how long this is going on, you know, and so it's like, but then should I, so it brings all these questions up because now I know Dylan is a little frustrated because, you know, Abe has to go to work and then we're coming here. We're still in our studio. You know, we are 6 feet apart here in the studio, but then there are other morning shows, but they're doing a great job of sanitizing everything here.
Right. But then you think about stuff like, OK, I know the cleaning company is supposed to be coming like 4 times a day, which I don't. Okay.
Right.
So they're doing that. But what exactly are they cleaning 4 times a day?
Right.
So like when I got coffee this morning, I was like, who touched this coffee maker?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's not many of us in here, but there's enough. It's so hard.
It is, because then I feel sort of like a hypocrite. I was thinking about this throughout the show today because we did the Tampa Bay train wreck about the big church that had, what was it? They had like, did they say
they
how many people?
They had a Sunday service. No, it was in, and keep in mind, so the church that did this in Tampa Bay is a mega church.
Right.
AKA, it's like, it's not like a... what you typically think of where you've got your church with maybe like a couple hundred parishioners or whatever.
Right.
We're talking like... massive auditorium style, like huge, and they held their normal Sunday service,
right,
with everybody packed in the seats,
right.
And they're doing the sermons and they're, you know,
by the way, I just want to play a clip of this is what the pastor said in a video online talking about why they held their service and what precautionary measures they took.
We brought in 13 machines that basically killed every virus in the place. If they sneeze it, it shoots it down like at 100 miles an hour. It'll neutralize it in split second.
I just want to know, where are these machines and why don't they have them in hospitals?
Like, where are these machines at, sir? What machine is it? What machine?
The Lord.
There's only 13 of them, damn! Like, what machine are you speaking of?
I'm so curious.
That can shoot down a sneeze.
I mean, does it, like, hover over you, and then does it, like, when it feels you sneezing, it goes, like, and it shuts you down?
Where are the 13 machines? Are they, like, on the perimeter of the building on the inside? Like, are
they, like, drones?
In the aisle? Are they drones?
Are they attached to the seats?
What?
I don't know.
Is it like a humidifier?
I have questions.
I have a lot of questions.
But okay, so we're like joking and laughing. All right, so there, everyone in the country is like, "Oh my God, this crazy church! You're supposed to stay away." But then I'm like, I had to get gas this weekend because my car was on E, and I still have to go eat. I went to the grocery store and I made sure that I was a distance away from people. And when I would walk past people, I would hold my breath.
Yeah, I know. I do
just
the same
to make
thing.
Sure, even though it's not airborne in that way.
No,
like the
but
particles
what if
fall
they
down.
Had just sneezed and you walked around the corner?
Right.
I don't know.
So, I mean, but according to the World Health Organization, it felt like that. It doesn't hang in the air. It doesn't float. It just goes straight down.
Right.
But what if? And so that's why I'm having a hard time in, you know, in making fun of those people that went to the church and the church. But then also, like, I'm still going out and, like, only doing what's necessary. Like, we had to go to Home Depot this weekend because we found out that our smoke detectors don't work.
I just feel like that's a different thing, though. Like, there's a difference between flagrantly getting together with hundreds of your close personal friends with no precautions except for the 13 futuristic Jetsons machines that shoot down a sneeze.
Right.
And going about your daily business or, you know, visiting a like a girlfriend or something, if you are aware of the seriousness and are taking the precautions. Like, if you go to the grocery store, you wipe down your cart.
Exactly.
You know, you maybe you have gloves on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you have a mask on if you're sick or whatever the case may be. And then, you know, you're doing the best you can because it's not probable to just sit in your house. Where are you supposed to get food?
Right. You can get it delivered, as people say.
Okay, but those people touched it too. I'm sorry, right. We haven't talked about this.
Right.
And I feel like it's almost like a taboo thing to talk about while mm-hmm. we're trying to keep business up and alive in all of our areas in America.
Right.
Order delivery, order takeout. What are those restaurants doing?
Right.
I don't know. Right. I mean, obviously, you would hope that they would be all very strict with their sanitizing and mm-hmm. they're keeping everything clean. But I have friends that aren't getting delivery because they're like, I just don't trust it.
Mm.
I don't either trust the restaurant or I don't trust the delivery driver. Somewhere in there, it's too much for me.
Right.
So somewhere you could potentially get it. But I think it flagrantly disobeying the orders that are put in place by the government right mm-hmm. now and being like, well, it's fine.
Right.
It's not fine mm-hmm. to go conglomerate on in a church, on the beach.
Yeah, anywhere.
Out
yeah.
on a boat. Which, by the way, how many alerts did we get on our phones this weekend that all had to do with boating?
Yes.
I feel like that's where people got the loophole.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in Tampa Bay was like, oh, I see. Mm. Can't be on the beach. Can't be in the park. Can't be in town.
I'm going to go on my boat.
I'm getting the pontoon boat out. And there's like 50 people like with like five boats
all
tied
together.
And
yeah.
then somebody, like the whoever's out in the Gulf, was like, gosh,
just
damn
stop
it.
Come
put an alert out about the boats. And so I just feel like there are people finding ways around it because there are still people that are like, I don't understand the big deal.
I mean, maybe if they have these on their boats.
We brought in 13 machines that basically kill every virus in the place. If they sneeze, it shoots it down like 100 miles an hour. It'll neutralize it in split second.
I mean, maybe they have them on their boats.
It. Maybe they have a machine. If that church could get the machines, what?
Where are the machines? Who sells the machines?
Can Cox Media Group get some machines? I'd like one.
I'm so curious. Like, wait, didn't you reach out to him?
Yes,
Scott?
No, I sent him a message on Instagram to see if, like, I could get in touch with him. He did not respond yet.
Dang, I'm so curious.
I just want to know, like, how are you going to say machines and then not back up what you said? I want to know what these machines are.
I want to know what companies, like, our machines will shoot the sneeze down.
Shoot
100 miles an hour. It's like, I think of it kind of like a Spider-Man's web that he flings out of his hand.
Like a chameleon tongue.
Yeah.
Also, someone who we're trying to get in contact with.
Because I saw Tiger. Now I understand.
Oh, so good.
I saw Tiger.
So, Tiger King.
Oh, my goodness.
Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
We are trying to get someone from Big Cat Rescue to come on with us and speak because.
No, they will not. They won't.
We are trying because they run commercials on our radio station.
Yeah.
And.
So wait, still?
I don't know.
I feel
know.
Like they haven't advertised in a couple
well,
years.
I think it's because is it non-profit? I don't know the specifics of it. That's way above my pay grade. But I do know I have heard them in the past.
I have too.
And I do know that someone at the top here has worked with what they do with the preservation of animals and helping them and whatnot. And so we're trying to go through that to get an honest conversation. And so that's why it's been kind of hard, like sort of speculating, because I really do want to hear what they think of what Carol Baskin and her husband think about the documentary
from
Netflix.
Well, we know what they already sent out a letter to their
followers. But I want to talk to them about it, not just a letter.
Did
I want to talk.
Did you see the video, Miguel? They are master spinners. They're not going to be like, oh, you know, you're right. I do have some shady shit going on back here at the Big Cat Rescue. They're not going to do it. Like, even if everything is 100% on the up and up, they're going to tell you the exact same thing that they wrote in the letter to the people that they've, you know, put out the statement. I think the Tampa Bay Times ran a piece that said that this is nonsense and it's sensational and blah, blah, blah. That's going to be the same thing they say.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol at Big Cat Rescue.
Holly, what do you think happened? Do you think she did
it? Well, now I'm scared. weird.
Do you think she did it?
Now
I feel
like,
is it okay to talk about it?
No, I mean, listen, it's speculation. I mean, just know that, like, let's say that
if I get fired because they pull their advertising money.
No, I mean, listen, I've heard it talked about on our sister radio station, and they are like dragging it through all over the place. So, I mean, I think that we're not accusing, we're not, we're having a public conversation like everybody else is having about it.
Right. Ben, to be fair, we have not gotten any kind of like, don't talk about it.
Right. No one has said, don't say anything about it. So, you know, because it's a public, or it's a national, it's at the zeitgeist of pop culture right now, and everyone's talking about it.
Yeah, but you know how other things are.
Right.
You know how it is. So I'm scared.
Okay, I'll be honest. I don't know. Because here's the thing. I listened to the podcast for Joe Exotic by Wondery, the podcast company. They're sort of like, because I know with podcasts, it's like so new and we're trying to like wrap our brains around it. Think of Wondery as sort of like a television network. Like if you were watching CNN or MTV, it is a network that produces different podcasts. And they had one last fall called Joe Exotic that was really, really interesting. And that's where I was first introduced to it. And even after listening to that, because it was sort of the same where the narrative is based off of Joe Exotic and Carole Baskin, and it gives her backstory. And they even went a little bit further into her backstory than they did on the Netflix documentary. Uh-huh. And even at the end of it, I was like, I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know. So when people are like, she killed her husband, she did it, I'm like, I don't know.
Ooh.
Because wouldn't they have found some information by now if that is the case?
Not necessarily. Even in the Netflix documentary, why the hell did the police not look in the van?
Right.
Why was there a van at the airport mysteriously with, like, no plane taking off, with the keys, like, gently on the seat? And then they were like, we'll just keep the van at the airport. We'll just let it sit there, and then we'll take it back, and then, like, another few days will go by, and then we'll look in the van.
Right.
There were mistakes made, period. And I just think it's entirely plausible that she could have done that.
Do you feel like, and granted, so like let's say that you are Carole Baskin and you're listening to this, because maybe someone on your team listens to the podcast and you're like, well, I wonder what they're saying locally about it. I want you to know that we're not making accusations. We are just simply having discussion about it, which you are as well. How would they, and is it even possible for her to say, absolutely, this is why I didn't do it, you know, like.
That's the problem. And that really sucks for her if she didn't do anything about it at all.
Right.
Because now you're living under this cloud of, well, but what if?
Right.
Because there's no way to disprove it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's no way to say, because there is no evidence of a body or anything, or, I mean, technically, we don't know if he's dead.
Right.
Because they just had him declared dead 5 years and one day after he was listed as a missing person. So, we don't know.
What I'm curious about, I feel like with this whole Cardi B, like, wanted to start a GoFundMe page for Joe Exotic to get him out of jail, I don't understand why some people are sticking up for him. Like, would you, like, if you're in a Carole Baskin versus Joe Exotic and you had to pick a team, like, which team would you say you were on, Holly?
Oh, I'm on Joe Exotic's team.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, 100%.
Now, why is that?
Oh, this poor man. Like, he is just, God bless him, he's dumb.
Yeah.
He was taken advantage of by so many different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like in the war between Joe Exotic and Carole Baskin, she obviously had all the power.
Oh, yeah.
And she kept coming for him.
Mm-hmm.
When it was very clear that, like, you're not going to get anything.
Right.
But she still kept coming. And here's what I think happened with Joe Exotic. I think that he started out with good intentions. He may have had, like, I don't know if it was some sort of like mental disorder or something, but he started out with a love for animals, and it was pretty evident through the various interviews that they did in that documentary that he came from a place of, a lot of feelings. Right. This is a man with a lot of emotion and a lot of feelings. It's almost like it's too much, right? Mm-hmm. So he's, and then I think what the first crook that went wrong for him, like the first turn that sent him down a bad path, was that man that came in to do the reality show. Mm. Because then that fame mm-hmm. went to his head. And clearly he's got some kind of trauma from like childhood where he's not been loved enough because he needs both a boyfriend and or a husband.
Right.
And two of them maybe. To fill that void, mm-hmm. and he needs other people to love him to fill that void. So he's going through life with, like, he's just trying to get as many people to love him as possible.
Right.
Is that right? No. Did he do some bad, shady shit? Yes. Good. Got that. Well, then the whole thing exploded with, you know, him and Carol Baskin, and he definitely did some wrong things. Like, you can't be pretending to shoot people. Like, you know some redneck backwoods people in your life that have threatened to kill someone. They probably didn't mean it, mm-hmm. but when you grow up in, like, the backwoods, you're like, I'm gonna shoot that bitch.
Mm.
This is something that people say
right.
in those areas of America. Maybe not in New York City, where we're like, you know, a highbrow briefcase, but if you're in the backwoods of Alabama, absolutely you threaten to put a shotgun to somebody. I guarantee it.
True. Mm-hmm.
So then enter Jeff Lowe. Jeff Lowe is a malignant narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this because he gives zero fucks about anything.
Oh, yeah.
He is only out to get the most he can out of people and then discard them. Mm-hmm. And that's like a classic, yes, parasitic narcissist where, you know, he's got that girlfriend, several girlfriends. He's just paying money to have people sleep with him. He's going down. Remember they were going to move the zoo to that other part of Oklahoma? He teamed up with some other redneck that he thought he could manipulate. But that redneck didn't have enough emotions and feelings, so it didn't work out.
Right.
But he saw Joe Exotic, and he was like, oh, this is my next target. So he made him his prey. And he was like, there's money here, because he had big cats, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's super narcissistic. He's like, I can make it seem like I'm going to rescue this zoo, and as soon as I get everything I need out of Joe, we'll just discard him,
right.
which is exactly what he did. So when Joe is like, I'm going to kill that Carol Baskin, whatever— Jeff was like, you know, it's possible.
Mm.
It's possible to kill her. And so Joe, kind of being a little bit not well, as we've seen, like, he got crazy at the end.
Oh, yeah.
They even said, like, the mood swings.
Mm-hmm.
Think, like, classic bipolar disorder where you're, like, swinging from, like, mania to depression. And then you're the one... I'm sorry, spoiler alert extraordinaire. The one husband's like, he's like, yeah, I'm not gay. I got my teeth fixed and I get with a woman.
That
and
was
the
crazy.
Other one has shot himself.
Mm.
He is trauma after trauma after things are being taken away. The fucking zoo is going to shit.
Oh, man.
This guy's like, I will save you. So then he put everything he had in the one person who could finally love him back. It's like fear and desperation for loving. And then that Jeff guy, once he was like, and him and his partner, Alan, the guy that was supposed to have gone to commit the murder with Carol, they're like, okay, well, we're not going to murder this man.
Right.
We can't kill somebody, but we're going to tell Joe we can.
Mm.
And then he'll believe it.
Right.
And then he'll just go away for that. They set him up the whole route.
But, okay, and I totally understand everything up until that point. And this is why I don't have sympathy for Joe Exotic, because of that final decision. If you would have been like, yes, I'm going to shoot that bitch, all that other horrible things that he said, and even if they did make you believe that it was possible, the fact that you then said, okay, I'm going to pay you, and then he paid homeboy that $3,000 to
right.
go do it.
Right.
Like, to me, that's where I'm like, all right, any sympathy that I would have had for you is gone, because in your mind, you were ready for her to die. You were going to take her life. And yes, she did not make it easy for you, and
right.
she stopped you in every single way, and it was shitty. But I feel like if you had any sense of compassion, if you were Joe Exotic, you would have then taken that opportunity to go, you know what? Why is this woman trying to come at me so hard? Why? How did this even originally start? It was because he was showing those baby cubs around, breeding them, and she was like, that's not right. I want them to be able, you shouldn't be breeding them. They should be out in the wild.
But she was breeding them.
Exactly. Doesn't make it right.
No.
Doesn't make it right.
This whole thing is crazy.
It is, but that's why I'm like, I don't have any sympathy for him, because, yes, all that bad stuff happened. I don't care how bad it gets. you don't go then say, I'm going to spend $3,000 to kill someone.
Agreed.
And so to me, that's why, like, that final decision, you could have inked out some sort of sympathy from me.
I don't know.
But then at that point, I was like, nope, I'm done.
I just feel like you, that he was so far out of his mental capacity to even understand life, and he had been so just met, because then remember he met that new boy and then they got married right away.
Mm-hmm.
Like he had just lost touch. And you could even see in the documentary, like what he's saying, like none of it made sense.
Right.
And I just feel like he was the pawn, basically.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Like he needs to not be in prison, probably. He needs to be in a mental institution.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, when you're saying, like, well, he could have come up with some, like, well, what was she? He has no reasoning skills like that.
Right.
This man is not well. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have, like, you know, the ability to be like, you know, this is the woman that's about to take everything away from me.
Right.
And then she actually did take everything away. And then so did Jeff. And it's like he got taken advantage of by all sides. And he was like the fall guy for all of those people. Because all of those people, including that guy with like the seven wives over in South Carolina or whatever.
Dr. Al.
Doc something. He, I believe, is also a narcissist because he doesn't give a fuck about it.
No.
I think that Carol cares about the animals.
Right.
And I think the reason she does is because she had all that trauma when she was like, she was raped by these men,
mm-hmm.
thrown out of her house, was in an abusive marriage, was like doing something on Nebraska Avenue.
Right.
And then she met that guy, Don Lewis,
mm-hmm.
and he provided her only safety, security, and money, which provided those things.
Right.
And so when someone was coming for her, Joe Exotic or whoever else, she was like, I will not be taken advantage of again.
Mm.
I will not be left. This is my, and it's like, that's her only thing.
Right.
Her only thing is that money that the zoo generates and the animals, because they can't hurt you, like, emotionally. You know what I mean?
Right.
She's so in with these animals because that's her one love.
Right. That doesn't take, it doesn't, it won't try to kill you.
Right. Well.
Well, they will.
They will. But, like,
they're going to love you.
She believes they don't. Like, right. They will always love you because right. you provide for them. So, like, she's gone off a little bit, too, I think, because, like, she's just not.
You think she hasn't dealt with her traumas?
No, not at all.
And so that's why it's so, like, it's like this one singular mission that she cannot take her eyes off of, you know, for all that time.
Because that's her reason for living. If she started undig, in fact, let's just say this. Like, let's just say she did, hypothetically, maybe she did kill her husband.
Right.
And fed him to the tigers. It's entirely possible that she did that. Completely, like, buried it deep somewhere, has told herself her new story so many times. Like, you heard she kept repeating when he said, getting up early, early, early in the morning, and she just keeps repeating those same details.
Right.
Because it's like, that's her created memory, and she has latched onto it, and she doesn't even remember killing him. And that way, it's like plausible deniability for herself. She's like, I don't know even what this is about. Like, she's just so calm and complacent about the whole thing. And she's
right.
like, this is crazy.
Right.
Because to her, it is. Like, in her reality, she didn't kill her husband.
Right.
He disappeared. But she has her safe haven, which is the tigers.
Do you think if she were able to get in front of a psychologist that could help her dig up the memories? I mean, do you think it's so suppressed, if that were to be true, that it like will forever be a lost memory?
I don't think anything is forever a lost memory.
Mm.
I don't think. Like, I say this like I've studied psychology. I'm sorry. I just been through a lot, so I just know some things.
It's fascinating.
And I find it. This is why I was like, I want to dissect this video. Mm-hmm. I was like psychoanalyzing all these different people as I'm watching it. But for her, I think for anybody, like repressed trauma like that,
mm-hmm.
There's a way to get to it, and you have to be like ready for it almost.
Mm.
Or like you have to hit some kind of rock bottom and it just comes out messy or whatever.
What if this is the rock bottom? This moment right now at the zeitgeist of pop culture where we're all looking for something to be distracted on, and so now there's a bunch of pressure mounting?
It could very well be. I can't imagine the pressure. And I feel terrible. I do feel bad as a fellow human.
Right.
That's why I feel for all these people. Because at the end of the day, it's just really sad. These people that got wrapped up in, because there's something wrong with all of them.
Right.
These people that got wrapped up in these exotic animals, and it all filled a need for everybody.
Right.
Like for Joe, it gave him love on a personal and a wide level. For Homeboy in Vegas, that Jeff guy, he's a narcissist, so it gave him a reason to manipulate people. Right. It got models up to the, you know, for Carol, it gave her a reason to live, and it gave her protection, which is what one of our basic needs. For Homeboy in South Carolina, it gave his narcissist ass a reason to get married 7 times.
Right.
Like, all of them are dealing with something, and they're all using the animals to do it.
So fascinating.
It is. And what's the craziest thing is that she's come out on top of all of them because she built it in such a way that she was the only one that was really looking out for the animals. This is a sanctuary. We're not, and she does love the animals. That doesn't mean she's still not profiting off of them.
Right.
So it's just like she came out on top of all that. But now that this whole thing has dragged it all out again, and why did they not DNA test the meat grinder? They were like, well, we didn't really think it was necessary.
I mean, she said it was very small, that it would be impossible. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, all you cool cats and kittens. It's Carol at Big Cat Rescue.
Again, she may not have. And this whole thing may be him going to Costa Rica to post up with some other girlfriend.
Right.
Yeah.
Who I felt bad for were the workers that looked up to Joe and thought of him as a savior. And the one guy, was it Alan who was like the main keeper?
No, not Alan. It was the guy with the legs.
No, it was the one with the longer hair, who wore the glasses. Yeah. And like the last interview they did with him, where I think he was in his bedroom.
Yeah.
And he was just wasted.
Yeah.
And I don't even know if it was just alcohol. Like it was something else. And so I just felt bad for all those people who are on the outskirts of humanity. And, you know, we tend to just say, well, we don't know what to do with you. And they felt like they had found a home and a family. And clearly they were spiraling without Joe.
And to be fair, they had.
Yeah.
Because Joe had been, like, look at the Thanksgiving dinner. Was it Thanksgiving dinner that he had hosted at the thing right before everything kind of went south?
I believe so,
or something. And it's like, it was their own little band of misfits.
Yeah.
And, like, ifs, ands, buts. If he would have just left Carol Baskin alone, he probably could have had a fine life.
Wow.
Or if she had just left him alone, or if Jeff Lowe hadn't have come in the picture, it was fascinating.
I know that if you haven't watched Joe Exotic, you're probably not listening to this second half of the podcast.
Sorry.
But if you did and you want to leave some comments and maybe you have some theories, download the free Hot 101.5 app, and on the open mic feature, leave your comments there, and we'll play some back tomorrow during the Uncensored podcast, the Corncast.
Right.
And to sort of get your theories on the show and what you thought about what happened, okay?
Okay.
And then we will let you know. Holly, what's all your social media, girl?
Radio Holly on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook.
Scott?
At Scott Tavlin, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter.
Scott, are you Team Carol or Team Joe?
It is so hard because Holly just made some great points where I'm like, I definitely do feel bad for Joe because right from the beginning, you know he's not well. Like, he's not well mentally, and people took advantage of that. For that, I feel bad.
I was just thinking, too, I don't remember. I know he gave that guy $3,000, but now I'm trying to think back to the show. Did he give him $3,000 to say as a deposit to go kill this woman?
Yeah.
Or...
But they went back and forth on that.
They went back and forth because I feel like...
He didn't say it exactly was for that.
No, I think that Jeff said it was for something else. It was like, again, I'm going to have to look for sure because I want to say that they worked out a deal for him to pay $3,000 to this man prior to any of that.
And they used that to frame him as a, we paid him, but, and then he also went down.
Right.
So we're going to connect the two.
Right.
So now
he's
framed for
murder.
He
needed paid for to be the farmhand or whatever. He gave him that money. That's what the money came from. That's what the Thanksgiving dinner was from. They were all trying to get money together to pay this guy for something that I think Joe was not aware that he was paying for murder for hire at that point.
Right.
He was just like, you know, he needs this money. And then Jeff was like, so now we show the receipts that he paid $3,000. We'll just say that it was for murder for hire.
Wouldn't he?
But I don't remember. I have to go watch that part again.
We'll have to reconvene tomorrow and watch that part. Because I don't remember that. I have to watch that myself.
I was also thinking, though, because what about the part where like he burned down like the studios and everything like that? Like, does that make him more guilty now, though?
I don't know. And like, what did all happen with that whole burn down the thing? And again, keep in mind that this person was just getting paranoid. Because that was probably part of whatever mental condition he had, too.
Dang it.
Right.
Like, you're right.
It's a mess. Okay, I got to go back and watch it. Sorry.
You can follow me on all my stuff. Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULLER. You can download the free Hot 101.5 app to listen to our Quarantcast. Or you can also, on iTunes, on your podcast app, type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Just make sure to rate and subscribe to us, and we will see you tomorrow. And once again, thank you to Corona Beer for supporting us and making this happen. So get you some Corona Beer and some limes, and you can find your beach.